Begin the current daf, Masechtas Bava Metzia, daf Ayin Aleph. Begin four lines down with the top of the Yomid. The Gemara continues the discussion with the previous daf. That is, on the topic of our parak, discussing the halachas of ribis of interest, the Gemara had quoted the following statement for Rav Nachman. He said that Amali Huna told me that Loi Nitzucher, it wasn't necessary to say this, rather it was even to say that it applies to the ribis of a non-Jew, regarding the payment of interest by a loan to a non-Jew. That was the statement that he said. Now, the first version had this on the Pasuk. The Pasuk quoted in Mishlei was saying that if someone increases his wealth through lending on interest, so then he's gathering it for it to be depleted. It's ultimately going to be confiscated, going to be given to other people. That's what the statement of Rav Nachman was saying in the name of Rav Huna, that's referring even if you're lending your money to a non-Jew, which the Gemara discussed, seemingly biblically, is permitted to lend to a non-Jew. And that's what the Gemara said, that rabbinically it's prohibited, and the Gemara qualified when is it permitted and when is it forbidden, but that was what the statement of Rav Huna was going on. And that's why Gemara continues and says that Ikad Demastin Lalahad Rav Huna, that those who teach the statement of Rav Huna on a totally different context, on a totally different, it's the same line, but in a totally different halacha. Ahadatan Rav Yisab, going on the following brayse that Rav Yisab had taught. The Pasuk says in Shemais, Im Kesev Talves Ami, if you're going to lend, meaning here the Im is that you should, lend money to my nation, Esa Ani Imach, the poor people that are with you. That's what the Pasuk says. So on that, the brayse teaches each word in that Pasuk has come to teach another level of hierarchy in the order of lending and giving charity. Ami Vanachri, if there's my people and a non-Jew who are coming to borrow money. So that's Ami Kaidim. My people comes first. That's why it says, Im Kesef Talves Ami. First, my people come. Ani V'Asher, if it's a poor person and a wealthy person coming to borrow money, so Ani Kaidim. So then, like the Pasuk continues, Esa Ani Imach, the pauper comes first. Let's say Ani Yecha. Let's say it's your poor people, meaning your relatives and people from your family. V'Ani Ircha, and another poor person from your city. Your poor people are first. That's where the next word in the Pasuk says, Imach, with you, meaning those who are related to you and close to you, they come first. Now let's say, let's say a poor person from your city and a poor person from another city come to you to borrow money. So the poor person from your city is first, because that's more Imach, that's closer to you in relative proximity than to someone from another city, and therefore there's a hierarchy of the order of charity and of a loan. That's what the Braisa says. Now, that the Gemara explains, Amar. So the Tana, the Braisa had said, Ami Venachri, if there's one of my people, as Hashem says, and a non-Jew, so Ami Kaidim, my people come first. And that the Gemara is pretty obvious. We have more obligations in relationship to a Jewish person. Why do we need the Pasuk to teach us that? So Amar of Nachman, this is where this teaching was said. Amali Huna told me, Loi Nitzacher, wasn't necessary to say this chiddush, this halacha, that fila l'nachri beribis uli Yisrael b'chinam. This is what we said, that even for a non-Jew for interest, not that there's any prohibition as the first version had it, which we discussed. It's saying that even if you have an opportunity to lend money to a non-Jew and make money to lend them on interest, and the Jew is coming to borrow, you have to lend them for free because you're not allowed to charge interest. That's the chiddush of the pasuk, that if you have Ami and a Nachri, that Ami Kaidim is even though the Jewish person you're lending the money to, you're not going to make any money, and the non-Jewish person you could. That's what the pasuk is teaching. You lend first to the Jewish person. Tanya Linda Breiser continue on these agadic teachings of the problems and the violations of ribis. Amr Yesi says, Boyre, come and see, Samoyes Einehem Shalmave Beribis. Literally, the blindness of the eyes of those who lend money in interest. It says as follows. You gotta imagine how distorted their thinking could become. Because Adam Kari Lechave Rasha, in a regular situation, if somebody calls his friend, you're evil, you're wicked. Yerdi Merlechai, if he goes down and he goes to his protagonist's life, his livelihood. In other words, he'll fight him to the death, saying, why are you attacking me? As if the guy's coming to kill him. Because no one wants to be called wicked. Vehaim, and those who lend money on interest, they go the opposite extreme. Mevim Eidim Balavler, the lender brings witnesses, a scribe, Vakulmis, the Diyai, parchment, ink, Vakaisman, Vakaisman, they write and they sign. He's bringing all this media attention to what he's doing. And what's it all testifying? This person, the lender, denies in the guard of the Jewish people because he's lending money with interest. So could you imagine how blind they are? If someone would call him wicked, he'd say, what? How could you? He would get all self-righteous. And here he is. He's bringing all these people to testify that he is someone that denies the guard of the Jewish people. Tanya learned the Brisa, Bishim ben Elazar, he says, Kol mi sheyesh li mois, whoever has money, umav oisim shalei beribis, and lends them without charging interest, Allah HaKasav Omer regarding him, the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Kasboi lo nosa beneshach, his money he does not give with interest. V'shoyecher anoki lelokach, he doesn't take bribery regarding those who are clean. Aisa Eila, those who do this, Layimit La'ilim will never stumble, will never be at a loss. Now the inference is, however, it's only those who do this will Layimit. Halamadah, but what that teaches you is, Shakalam Alva Beribis, whoever does lend on interest, Nachasa Mismaititin, he will have his assets depleted, he will stumble and he will falter. Now that the Gemara asks, but Vokachsin, but we see that the Layimitzvi Beribis, there are those who do not lend on interest, and yet become a smitetin, yes, yet they are depleted from their assets. You said that those who do not lend on interest will not lose their assets. So Amir Balazi says, no. Halalu mismaititin. Those who, even if they lend not on interest, they could fail, but va'ilan, they ultimately will get back up again. V'halalu, but those who lend on interest, mismaititin ve'einan ailan. They stumble and they do not get back up again. And that's what the Pasig is saying. It says, Kol oisa eila, whoever does these things that does not lend on interest, layimit la'ilam. In other words, even if he does stumble, his stumbling will not be for ailam forever. But he who lends on eshach, on interest, yimit la'ilam, he will be depleted forever. Mara quotes a Pasig in Chavakuk that says, Lama sabit baigdim. Talking to Hashem, why do you look at the treacherous ones as the traitors? And tachersh, Hashem, you're silent. Kevala or bevala rasha tzadik mimena. When he swallows a person that's more righteous than him, Hashem, where's the justice over here? That you see the wicked eating up, swallowing up a person more righteous than him, and you're silent. Now, Amar Rav Huna, he makes an inference in the pasuk based on the concept we were just talking about. It's only tzadik mimenu boileya. Like it says in the pasuk that the wicked will swallow up he who is more righteous than him. But tzadik gomer in the beileya. But a completely righteous person, the wicked cannot swallow. In other words, like we said, that even if he'll be mismited, but he will ultimately get up and he will not be swallowed forever. It's only someone that's more righteous than the wicked person. But totally righteous, the swallow cannot swallow forever. Continuing on this topic of ribbis, the Gemara is Tanya learned in the following brisa. Rabbi Eimer, he says, Ger tzedek ha'omer le'inyan mechira, regarding the righteous convert, which is the term always used for what we call a regular convert who becomes a full-fledged Jew, that is said in regards to sale, and v'ger teshav ha'omer le'inyan ribbis, and regarding the resident convert, which is really a non-Jew, it's just that he accepts upon himself not to do avodah zarah, although he eats non-kosher, he's a non-Jew in most respects, that the halacha of the resident convert that it says in regards to halachas of ribbis, says Rebbe, any day amahu. I don't know their applications. I mean, he has a question regarding the halach of Ger Tzedek in regards to a sale, and regards to Ger Tesha regarding ribs. So the Gemara explains. First, the first one. Ger Tzedek ha'amr le'id mechir, regarding the righteous convert, regards to a sale, what does that apply to? There's a passing in the Yikra that says, V'chiyamach achicha imach v'nimkalach. If your brother, another Jew, will have lost all his money, and he'll be sold as a slave, as an ivri to you. Now, says the Braisa, V'loy l'cha el l'ger. And he's not only going to be sold only to you, another Jew, he's even going to be sold to the convert. Now, what this going on is going back, there's a Braisa that's brought himself, this Erich Flamen of Abayz. The beginning of the Braisa starts off by saying, come and see how harsh is the punishment of just the dust of violation, meaning even the small minutiae of the law of violating the halacha of Shemitah. Where if a person does business dealings with the produce of Shemitah, which is not the biblical violation, ultimately what's going to happen is, meaning it's not the primary violation of the Shemitah, what ultimately is going to happen is that he's going to sell his movable assets, and that's where the Pesukim keep on going and showing how far it's going to go. He's going to sell his land, his house, until it's going to come to a situation where he's going to have to sell himself as a slave. Like it says, if a nimkalach, then he'll sell himself to you. Now that's what the Braisa is continuing over here and saying, and not only to you, but he's going to have to sell himself even to a convert. Shem, like it says later on, it says leger, that he's going to sell himself to the ger. Now, v'loy leger tzedek, continues the evolutionary process. Not only does he going to sell himself to the righteous convert, who's a regular Jew, just he's not someone that was born a Jew, but el leger tayshav, he's even going to be sold to a resident convert who's a non-Jew. Shem, like it says there in the pasuk, it says leger tayshav. Continues, the pasuk says mishpachas ger, he's going to be sold to the family of the convert, zehanachri, that's the reference to the non-Jew, meaning a regular non-Jew. because the ger, he converted, he came from a family of non-Jews. So when it says a person is going to be sold to the family of non-Jews, it's a reference, he's going to be sold to a non-Jew. When the pasuk says, or to an idol, that's how far he's going to fall. He's going to be sold even to chop wood and to draw water for the idol itself. That's what the Brisa says, what happens to someone that does business dealings with the Shemitah produce. Now, Amamam. Now, the Gemara is going to come to explain what was Rebbe's question on this pasuk. What did he say that I don't know what it is? The Brisa said, V'loy l'cha el l'ger. Not only is the non-Jew, is the Jew going to be sold as a slave to you, another Jew, but even to the ger. Shenema, like it says in the pasuk, leger, to the righteous convert. That what was bothered Rebbe was, lememr the ger kani eved ivri. Is that to say that a convert could acquire a Jewish slave? That's what it seems like the Brisa is saying. That's an explanation of the pasuk. But that as Rebbe Vermini, but that's contradicted from the following Brisa. The Brisa says, in hager nikneh be'eved ivri. First of all, a convert, he himself cannot be sold and acquired as a Jewish slave. And also, ve'ein isha v'ger, and this is the primary point, a woman and a convert cannot be kainin eved ivri. They cannot acquire for themselves another Jew as the Jewish slave. What's the reason? So the Gemara explains, ger lo nikneh be'eved ivri. First of all, the first halacha, a convert cannot be acquired himself as a Jewish slave, because the pasuk in Mayikra says, v'shavel mashpachter be'inim v'hot leka. One halacha is that when he's freed, it says that he'll go back to his family. Now, that doesn't apply by a ger because he doesn't go back to his family. They're not Jewish. So therefore, it doesn't apply into the criterion of the sale of an eved ivri. So he cannot be sold as an eved ivri. Moreover, the Brisa said, Vein ish of a ger koinin eved ivri. A woman and a convert cannot acquire a Jewish slave. What's the reason? First of all, isha lav oyrchara. By a woman, it's not appropriate to buy a Jewish slave, because then she's going to be secluded with her slave, because here he is by himself, and she's the proprietor. She's going to have her and him. It's not appropriate because they're going to be secluded. It might lead to inappropriate things. And ger nami, and a convert also cannot acquire a Jewish slave, because Gemir, we have a tradition that dimikni, he who could be acquired himself as a Jewish slave, kani, he could acquire a Jewish slave. Delay mikni loy kani, he who cannot be acquired as a Jewish slave, as we just explained before, there's no v'shava mashpachta by ger, he cannot be sold as an eved ivri, so he cannot acquire an eved ivri. So that contradicts the previous price, which said that the Jewish slave is going to be sold not only to a Jewish person, but even to a ger. But didn't we just say in this price that a ger cannot acquire an eved ivri? That was Rebbe's question. On that, Amr of Nach B'Yitzchak, he answers, he says, look, ein kain of edina ki yisro. What this price is saying, that he cannot acquire an eved ivri, he cannot acquire an eved ivri as a Jewish owner would own an eved ivri. Aval kain eved dinik kanachri, but he could acquire, which explains the first brisa, that he could acquire a Jewish slave, but as a non-Jewish owner of a Jewish slave. The time, like we learned, the brisa, that there is a difference between a Jewish slave who sold to a non-Jew or who sold to a Jew. And that's what we're saying, that yes, he cannot acquire an eved ivri as a Yisrael, but he could acquire it as a nachri. As we learned, the brisa, it says, hanirtza, is a Jewish slave that's sold, where his period of servitude is only supposed to be for 6 years. But then at the end of the 6 years, he says, I love my master and I love my wife, I want to stay over here. So then he gets a hole in his ear and he stays up until Yevil. Now, regarding a Jewish slave that's sold to a Jew, the halacha is that when the master dies, then he actually leaves before Yevil, although he's supposed to stay till Yevil. But if his master dies, he goes out before Yevil. Now, regarding a nirtza, and v'hanimker l'nachri, and regarding someone that's sold to a non-Jew, the halacha is, eina oved lo yaseh ben v'lo yaseh bas. He does not serve the son or the daughter, meaning in contrast to a regular slave, if he wasn't nirtza in his first 6 years, if the master dies, he will continue working for the son or for the daughter. But a nirtza, if the master dies, he will not serve the son and the daughter. And the reason for that is because by the nirtz it says, va'avadoy lo'ilam. Regardless of halacha of serving him till yevil, by the nirtz it says, you'll serve him forever, but that's only him and not to the son. So too, the one who sold to the non-Jew, the Gemara Kedushin of Yitzayim Abayz learns, says, v'chishavim kineu. You have to calculate with the one who purchased him, that is, to be able to get him out earlier, which tells us, but not with the Yoshe Kineu, meaning you don't work for the inheritors of the one who bought him. When the non-Jewish owner dies, then the Jewish slave, although the period of time he was bought for, is still applicable. He does not serve the son or the daughter. So we see that there are differences between someone that's sold to a Jew or to a non-Jew. That's the relevancy of saying that the ger cannot be kind to eved ivri. He could be, but not as a Jew, but rather as a non-Jew. And therefore, let's say if the ger dies, his child will not take over the servitude of the eved ivri. Now, parenthetically, Amar, the Gemara goes to now explain the Braisa we just quoted. The Braisa said, "Ve'ein isha v'ger kain ebed ivri," that a woman and a convert cannot acquire an ebed ivri. Again, the woman is not appropriate, and the ger, because since he cannot be sold as an ebed ivri, he cannot acquire an ebed ivri. Now, that the Gemara says, "Name it like Rabshimim Gamliel." Shall we say that this Braisa is not like Rabshimim Gamliel? Because the Tanya learned the Braisa that says, "Isha," the Tanakama says, that a woman can be kain es ashvaches. She could acquire a maidservant, but ve'ein kain es avadim. She cannot acquire a male servant. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, he says, no, she could even acquire male slaves. So similarly, this braisa that says that she cannot acquire an ebed ivri is not like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who says she could be kind of a male slave. But the Gemara says, no, you could even say that the previous braisa is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. It's not a difficulty. Because Khan, the first braisa, was told by ebed ivri, as we said, by a Jewish male slave. There, as the braisa said, it's forbidden, and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel would agree to that. Khan over here, where Rabbi Shimon says that she could acquire a male slave, is by Eved Kanani, is by a non-Jewish slave. What's the reason? So the Gemara explains. Eved Ivri Tzniela, a Jewish slave, she assumes that he is modest. He's a Jewish person. Now, she is assuming that if they'll do inappropriate things together, he's not going to go out and start advertising and telling everybody because he's embarrassed. He has one of the characteristics of a Jewish person, and therefore it's forbidden for her to acquire him as a slave because they're going to end up getting secluded, and she'll fall into that situation because she'll be like, oh, no one's going to find out about this. So therefore, it's forbidden for her to buy the Jewish slave. Eved Kenani Paritz Lo, but by the non-Jewish male slave, he is totally promiscuous, and she's afraid to then make herself allowed to do something inappropriate with him because he's going to say and tell everybody, he's going to put it all over his social standings, and therefore she's afraid to do stuff because the word's going to get out and she doesn't want to put herself in that precarious situation. So therefore that's why she actually could acquire the non-Jewish male slave, because there she's not going to put herself in that situation. So it could be like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Now the Gemara, however, asks, based on what we're saying up until now, but then this that we learned, that Rabbi Yisuf taught in the Braisa, that says, Amarta loisa rabbi kalba, a widow is not allowed to bring up and have by her a dog, because she might do inappropriate things with the dog. She doesn't have a husband. She might engage in bestiality, which actually Tosfos says that it's not that we suspect the widow of actually engaging, because Jewish people are not suspect regarding homosexuality and bestiality, and therefore there's no prohibition of being secluded with an animal or of another male to a male. It's just because of what people are going to say, because people are going to see the dog going after her, and they're going to say, oh, it must be because she's doing stuff with the dog. That's why it's inappropriate. But either way, Rav Yisuf says that a widow cannot have a dog. And neither is she allowed to give dwelling to a Talmudic scholar, this widow, for housing, because again, it's inappropriate for her to have, as a widow, a Talmudic scholar, a young student in her house. Now, that has the Gemara. Bishlam barbe rav tzniela. So we understand by the Talmudic scholar, she assumes that he's modest, he's a yeshiva, he's from, and she's confident that if she's going to do something inappropriate with him, the word's not going to get out, so therefore that's inappropriate, as we said before, because then she might allow herself to do things with him. Elakalba, but the case of the dog, kibin de misrachba, since the dog will go ahead and chase after her, will be attached to her because of the intimate things that she does with him, they're mirtasa. Then actually she'll be afraid to have relations with the dog, and therefore, why is it forbidden? Just like you said, it's permitted for the woman to have the non-Jewish male slave because she'll be afraid to do it because it's going to become obvious to everyone what happened. So to the dog will be obvious to everyone because the dog will chase after her. So why is she not allowed to have the dog in her house? So Amri, they said that no, because kivin d'chishad yele umtza, since even if she just threw him a bone with meat on it, masuch basra, the dog would still chase after her. So Amri Inchi, people are going to say, Mishum umtza d'shad yele hu d'masuch, the reason why the dog's running after her is not because she's intimate with her, it's because of the fact that she threw him some raw meat and the dog's excited, that's why he chases after her. But they wouldn't say it's about intimacy, and therefore it's actually forbidden for her to keep the dog with her, because then she might actually do those things, and she's not going to be afraid, because people are not going to assume that it's because of intimacy, but rather because of the meat that she gives to the dog. So that was the first of the two things that Rebbe was troubled by. Now, the second one was Ger Taisha, which again, as we said, is someone that accepts upon himself not to serve idols, but he still eats non-kosher. Ha'amar le'inu ribis, which was said in the context of the parasha of lending on interest. Mahi, what is that referring to that Rebbe was bothered by to understand what that context was? So the Gemara says, the pasuk in Vayikra. It says, that when your brother will be poor, umata yadi imach, and his hand will fall with you, so you should support him, should strengthen him. Ger, v'teishav, the convert and the resident, v'chayimach, and he'll live with you. Atikach mi'itay neshach v'tarbis. Don't take from him biting and increasing, meaning interest. V'reisim alikach, and you should fear your God. V'chayachichimach, and let your brother live with you. So it sounds like from the pasuk that a teishav, you're not allowed to take ribis from him. That is what was bothering Rabbi Viramini, but that's contradicted from our Mishnah that said, Love and Mehen, Umavanais and Beribis. You're allowed to borrow from them and lend them, the non-Jewish people, Ribis, Vechein Beger Toshim, and same thing applies to the resident convert that you were allowed to lend them on interest. Now the Pasuk simply says clearly that Ger B'Toshav, you're not allowed to lend on interest. So how do we understand that? That of Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak here, he also answers that question of Rabbi, Miksiv Altikach Mi'itam. Does the Pasuk say, and I'll take from them? It says from him in the singular. Mi Yisrael, that Isra of Ribis is only going on the Jewish person, meaning on the part of the Pasuk says Achicha. Now, although the Pasuk does mention Ger V'Teishav, that's regarding the other variable in the Pasuk of Achei Imach, that he should live with you, that you're commanded to support him and make sure that he's able to survive. But regarding the Isra of Altikach, Mi'itai, Neshach V'Tarbis, that's only Mi'itai on the Jewish person and not on even the Ger Taishav. As our Mishnah said, you're allowed to lend the Ger Taishav Ribis. Now, once we brought in that Pasuk, the Gemara brings another Braisa, that Tarabon in the Braisa. The Pasuk says, Altikach Mi'itai, Neshach V'Tarbis. And I will take from him, another Jew, Neshach V'Tarbis, Ribis. Aval Ata Nasalei Arv, but says the Braisa, but you're allowed to become the guarantor of the borrower, who is a Jew, in regards to the lender, that although there is a loan here on interest, although you're not allowed to lend the Jew on interest, but you could be the guarantor for the Jewish person on the loan that is taken on interest. Now, that the Gemara continues, Amud Beis, and asks, but Arev Laman, who is this Jewish person who's being the guarantor for the other Jewish friend who is the borrower? Who is the lender that you're saying that you're allowed to make, that the Jewish person could be the guarantor for that his fellow Jewish brother who's the borrower? Explains the Gemara. Ilim Arv Yisrael, if it means that he's being a guarantor to a lender who's a Jewish person, meaning you're not allowed to lend money, that's the violation, but to be the guarantor, you could be, even though it's, let's say, one Jew borrowing from another Jew on interest. But on that, that's the Gemara. But Tanya, we learned in the Mishnah later on, in Ein Heyamid Beis, that says, Elu Oivrim Beloisa, say, these individuals are all implicit in the negative prohibition of Loisa Simon, of not placing interest on a loan. The Hamalva, the lender violates the Yisr. Va'leiv, the borrower, violates the Isser. Ha'ariv, the guarantor, violates the Isser. And Va'edman, the witnesses. So you see that the guarantor is not allowed to guarantee a loan on interest. So it can't be that the lender is a Jew. Al-Lanachi, rather, says the Gemara, the lender is a non-Jew. And what we're saying is, although the Jewish person cannot lend his brother, his friend, the Jew, on interest, but he could be his guarantor from a loan from a non-Jew. Now, but that, the Gemara asks, if you're saying that the lender is a non-Jew, and you're saying that the guarantor will be a Jew for another Jew, but v'kivin didini didnachri, since the way the laws of the non-Jews are, the azl basar arva, they only make the claim to the guarantor. When someone borrows money from them, they're like, there's a reason why this guy's borrowing money. This guy has no money. They go straight to the guarantor. You are the one with the assets. You're providing the loan for the guarantee for him. They would go straight to the guarantor. If that's the case, ask the Gemara, ihu niu de koshakal mene rabisa, then it comes out, in truth, that the guarantor is the one who's collecting the loan on interest from the borrower. In other words, because it's as if that the borrower, that the guarantor borrowed from the non-Jew, and then he went and lent that money to another Jew, because essentially that's what happens. The non-Jew says, I'm going to collect straight from you, the guarantor. So essentially you're taking the loan from me. Now, if you want to be the guarantor, you're essentially like lending it to the Jew, but I'm going to come to you. So if that's the case, how could a Jew be a guarantor for another Jew when essentially what that means to say is that he's really lending money to his fellow Jew on interest and he has his own loan as the guarantor to the non-Jew to pay on interest, which that's permitted, but he's collecting interest from his fellow Jew. On that, Rav Sheshet, he answers the case that we're discussing is Shekibul Olav Lodin B'dini Yisrael. the non-Jew accepted upon himself to accustom as the Jewish law is. In other words, just like in Jewish law, you first try collecting from the borrower first. Now, it's only when the borrower doesn't have money and he defaults. That's when you collect from the guarantor. So the non-Jew in this case, the lender agrees to follow that protocol. Now, therefore, it's not like that the guarantor was the one who borrowed initially from the non-Jewish lender. And therefore, when he does pay to the non-Jew, it's at that moment when he pays to the non-Jew that he is now lending money to his fellow, the non-Jew, his fellow the Jew. Now, what is he lending him? He's lending him the whole amount. It's not ribbis. He's lending him, he's saying, look, you owe this non-Jew, you borrowed from him 100. You promised him you're going to give him back extra $20. You owe him $120. You borrowed from him because the non-Jew is following Jewish law, which he collects straight from the borrower, and you're the borrower. I'm just a guarantee. Now, when you default on the loan and he wants to collect his $120, I'm going to pay him $120. Now, essentially, I'm lending you $120, not on ribbis, not $100 plus 20. I'm lending you $120 because that's what the non-Jew is taking from him. And therefore, there's no problem about ribbis in that situation because the non-Jew accepted to do it through the regular Jewish channels. Now, that the Gemara asks, Ikibu the love laden b'din Yisrael, if the non-Jew accepted upon like Jewish law, so ribbis nami lo lishko, then they shouldn't take even interest either. How do we understand the case? We're saying that the Jewish person could be a guarantor for another Jew, even though he can't lend, but he could be a guarantor on a loan in interest from a non-Jew. But then we said then essentially he's lending. He said, no, he's accepting Jewish law. Jewish law, then how is he charging interest? That Rav Sheshe says, Shekibu the love lazu, v'lekibu the love lazu. He accepted upon himself for this element that he's going to go to the borrower first and not to the guarantor. That he accepted Jewish law. That's okay, fine. You want me to go that channel? I'll go that channel first, which will take care of that problem. But he doesn't accept not to lend an interest. That he's like, oh God, I'm going to make my money. I'm a non-Jew. I have no problem about ribbis. And therefore, that's the case that we described in the Brisa of the Jew allowed to be the guarantor for his fellow Jew from a loan from a non-Jew. Now, the Gemara continues to explain the halacha of Mishnah that said, Malve Yisrael Mo'esav Shal Nachri, a Jew is allowed to lend another Jew, non-Jewish money, Midas HaNachri, only if it's with the consent of the non-Jew, Chulu, etc., but not if it's with the consent of the Jew. So what does that mean? So Tanya, one of the Braisa expounds on this halacha. Malve Yisrael Mo'esav Shal Nachri, Midas HaNachri. The Braisa says that a Jewish person is allowed to lend a non-Jew's money to another Jew, Midas HaNachri, from the consent of the non-Jew, Avolimidas Yisrael, like we said in the Mishnah, but not if it's through the consent of the Jew. Explains the Braisa, Ketza, what's this case? So the Braisa explains, Yisrael shalav v'moyis v'nanachi b'ribis. A Jew borrowed, let's say from the bank, he borrowed money on interest alone from non-Jews. Now, ubikash lachaz yimla, he wants to pay up his debt. He's finished paying up his mortgage, he wants to pay up a loan that had interest to the non-Jew. Now, Mitzoy Yisrael achar v'amalei. Now, another Jew who, let's say, doesn't have credit, cannot get a loan in the bank, he finds his fellow Jew and he tells him, look, t'namely, you have the money ready to pay it up. Do me a favor. You give me the money, v'ani elacha, and I'll pay you the ribbis, k'derech shatam alaloi, just like you paying the bank, the non-Jewish person. Yeah, I don't have credit line, but I need money. So you give me the money, and I'll pay you interest, just like you were paying interest to the bank. So don't worry, I'll cover you so that you won't owe anything more. I'll pay you the ribbis, and then you'll give it to them. That's the case that's called Midas Yisrael. That, says the Braisa, that's Aser. Now, the reason for that is because essentially that's a case where the Jewish person borrowed from the non-Jew, but then that Jew is lending to another Jew. So he's lending his fellow Jew, Midas Yisrael, from his own consent on ribbis, and that's forbidden. But v'mimidu etzel nachri. But if, let's say, this Jewish borrower brings his Jewish friend and brings him to his non-Jewish lender. Now, although that the Jew is giving it to his fellow Jew, but since it's through the consent, what we call midas hanachu, with the command of the non-Jewish lender, so therefore says the Braisa, that's the case in the Mishnah, it says that it's mutter, it's going to be permitted, because essentially the Jew is just the shliach of the nachri. It's midas nachri. The lender, he brings him to the lender, he says, look, you trust me, you lend to me, you don't know this guy, he's coming to me, wants to borrow from me, I don't want to get involved. I'm coming over here, could I give him the money? And the non-Jew says, look, I trust you, I trust your friends, yeah, you could give it to him. So although the Jewish person is giving another Jewish person a loan on interest, but it's not Midas Yisrael, it's Midas Dinachri, and therefore it's essentially the non-Jew lending it to him, which a non-Jew is allowed to lend on interest, and therefore it's permitted because the Jewish person is only doing a shlichas of the non-Jew. That's one way. Then we have the other way. V'chein, the same thing is the opposite way. A non-Jew borrowed from the Jewish bank, from the Jewish lender, a loan on interest. Now the non-Jew wants to go and pay up. Now, another Jew meets up with this non-Jew and he tells him, look, I don't have credit. This Jew is not going to lend me. I can, actually can't even borrow on interest. To namely, give me your money. I'll pay you interest just like you're paying that Jew interest. Says the Braisa, Muta, that's going to be permitted because that's Midas Hanachri. It's the non-Jew on his own volition. He took a loan from the Jew. Now the money is his. Now he's lending money to the Jew. That's permitted. But Vimimidur Eitzel Yisrael, but if he brings him to the Jew and he says, look, you know, this is your fellow Jewish brother. You know, I don't want to be involved. He brings him to him and he says, look, could I give him the money? And the Jewish person says, yes. Also, that's going to be forbidden. Because although the Jew is getting it from the hand of the non-Jew, but since the non-Jew is basically just an agent of the Jewish person, and we know that Allah Shluch Shalom Kamaisai, he's basically an extension of the Jewish person, it's like the Jewish person is lending to the Jewish person in interest, which is forbidden. That's the Braisa explained the halacha of the Mishnah. Now, on this, the Gemara asks, Bishloim Seifa, we can understand the second category of the Braisa, where we said that if the non-Jew brings the wannabe Jewish borrower to the Jewish lender, that we said it's going to be forbidden, which sounds like that the non-Jew is going to be the shliach of the Yisrael, and therefore it's like the Yisrael lending the Yisrael, that's forbidden, we could understand that halacha is essentially luchumr. It's a rabbinic stringency to say that's forbidden, because really the halacha is that this principle of saying that the shliach of a person, the agent is like the person himself, is really only if the one who's sending the agent is a Jew, and that the agent himself is also a Jew. Because as we learn in the second paragraph of Masechet Kedushin of Mem Aleph and Mem Aleph in the Halachas of Truma, that it says in the pasuk Gam Atem, also you, where you is telling you just like you, and same thing with the extra word Gam to say also your agents, just like your people of the covenant that you're Jewish, so too your agents have to be Jewish. Now, but still, in spite of that, as a stringency, we do say that a non-Jew will be considered like the Shleich of the Yisrael to make it forbidden as ribbis from a Jew to a non-Jew. Now we understand. But what the Gemara asks, El Ereisha, but the first category that the Braisa talks about, which we said that where it was a Jew who borrowed from a non-Jew, and then his Jewish friend wants to borrow from this Jewish borrower. On that said, the Braisa, that if the Jew brings his Jewish friend to the non-Jewish lender, that we said it's going to be permitted, because essentially it's really, he's just doing the agency of the non-Jew to the Jew, and it's like the non-Jew lending to the Jew. But that asks the Gemara, Kivin de Ein Shliachus L'Nachri, since there is no halachic agency for a non-Jew to create as if another person is being him. So essentially, it's the Jew getting it from the Jew. So Ihu Nihu de Koshokal Mene Rebisa, so he's taking interest from him. It's not because, as a stringency, you could say that, you could say with a non-Jew Shliach Shalom Kamaisa, like we said in the Sefer. But in the Reisha, you're creating that as a leniency. But we know that that's not the case. A non-Jew does not have the halachas of agency, whether to create agency or to be an agent. So how do we understand the halacha? How can we say that if the Jewish person who's the borrower from a non-Jew brings his fellow Jew and brings him to the non-Jew and says, look, can we just give him the money? You know, and the non-Jew says, yeah. And the Jew gives him the money. So it's going from one Jew to another Jew. You can't say that he's the non-Jew's, as if the non-Jew is giving it, because Allah HaShlech Shalom Kamaisa only applies to Jewish people, not to non-Jews. So why is that permitted? Says, what are we talking about over here, where it's permitted in that Reisha? It's Kagain to Amarle. It's where the non-Jew tells to the first Jewish borrower, the one that had the money, look, put the money down on the ground, and you could remove yourself. And that's what he did. And it's from that spot where the first Jew put it down that the second Jew took it. So it wasn't that the first Jew gave it to the second Jew. He just put it down on the ground. And then the second Jew came and took it. So therefore the first Jew wasn't doing any violation. He wasn't lending on interest. He didn't do anything. He just removed himself. So that's why we said it's going to be permitted. Now that the Gemara asks, Ihachi, but if that's the case, then my lamema, what was necessary to say that? Why would we think it's forbidden? The first Jew is not handing it over to say, oh, he's lending on interest. He put it down. He's done. The non-Jew said, that's a good. You'll absolve yourself from your mortgage that way. Just put it down. The second Jew then takes it. So why would we have to say that's permitted? So Elamar of Pabba, rather, he explains, it's where the non-Jew went and took it from the first Jew and gave it biyad with his own hand. So he took it from the first Jew and gave it to the second Jew. So the Gemara says, vakati my lamema. Still, why was it necessary to say? Why would we think it's forbidden? The first Jew didn't give it to the second Jew. The non-Jew said, look guys, You borrowed. You want this guy to get, and he doesn't have a line of credit. He took it from the first Jew, gave it to the second Jew. So, of course, the first Jew didn't do anything. The non-Jew did it. Why do we have to say it's permitted? That thing where it says, Ma'ad etim, what would you think to say? Nachri gufei ki aved. No, the non-Jew, the owner, the lender, when he did that action, why was he doing it? Adaiti di Yisrael kugamar v'yahev. He's doing it because of the first Jew who's bringing the money to him. He's coming to him and he's saying, look, guys, you're the guys at the bank. I know you wouldn't lend it to him. Do it for me. Trust me, etc., etc. Now, when the non-Jew is doing it, why is he doing it? Essentially, he's the shliach of the first Jewish borrower. Because he's only doing it, he's like, okay, you Jews, I don't know what you want. Okay, he takes it from him and he gives it to him. But why is he doing it? He's doing it because of the Jew. You would think, therefore, the non-Jewish lender is like the shliach, the first borrower, to give it to the second borrower. And therefore, rabbinically, we should say it's forbidden, like we said by the Sefer, that as a stringency, a non-Jew could be considered a shliach. K'mashmalan, that's the chiddush that we say that no. The lender is not the shliach of the first borrower when he takes it from the first Jew and gives it to the second Jew. He's the lender. He's the owner. He's not a shliach of the first borrower. And that's why it's permitted. That's why it was necessary to say that it's permitted. That's one approach to resolve that question that we asked. If we say that there's no shlichus to an akum, how do we understand the ratio where it seemingly should be a case of shlichus, but a non-Jew doesn't have it, and yet it's creating a leniency? So that's what we said, the first answer, which is to explain that it's not just a regular shlichus, he actually takes it from hand to hand. Rav Asher, he tries giving a different resolution to answer that question. He says, Ki amrinan ein shlichus al nachri. No, he says that it is like we read it, that because when the Jew brings the other Jew to the non-Jew, essentially it's just the shlich of the non-Jew, but although we say, and that's where the question comes from, that a non-Jew does not have the halach of agency, says Rav Asher, that's hanemila b'truma, that was only by the halachas of truma. But by the rest of the Torah, a non-Jew does have the halachas of agency. And therefore, when the Jew brings his fellow Jew and he asks the non-Jew, could I give it to him? And he says, yes, he's acting as the agent for the non-Jew. And therefore, it's a loan from a non-Jew to a Jew. And therefore, it's permitted. Now, in that the Gemara says, V'hodr of Ashi Berusahi. But this teaching of Ashi is from the word of bra, like brisa, and the outside. It's an outside teaching. It's not correct. Because, Maishna Truma Deloi. Why would we say that by truma, that the non-Jew does not have the halachas of shlichus? Because the chsiv, like it says in the pasuk, atem, but instead of saying atem, it actually says gam atem, also you, what's the extra word? It teaches you, ma atem b'nei veris, just like you, the Jewish people, I'm telling you the halachas of truma for, a people of the covenant, av shluchachem namim b'nei veris, also your agents that could go ahead and separate truma for you, also have to be Jewish people. Now, shlichus, the chalat Torah, kula nami. Now, so the same thing applies for the halachas of agency regards to all halachas of the Torah. To say that the agent is the same as an extension, as if he's the person, the mashleich himself, is metruma gamrin la. We learn it out from the halachas of truma, as the Gemara brings himself this kedushin. So Eldra Avashe Berusis, rather says the Gemara, it's an outside, it's an incorrect teaching, because you can't say that Akum have shlichus if we learn the old halachas of shlichus from Truma, and Akum does not apply over there because they're not b'nei beris. So too, the same thing would apply for the halachas that we're discussing over here. Ikudami, those that say a different version, that Amr Vashi had said, a different answer, a different qualification. He said, Ki amrinan ein shlichus al nachri. He says, when did we say that there's no halachas of shlichus, of agency for a non-Jew? Hanamila inhu lididan. That's only for them, that to them for us. Avalanan liditu, but us for them. For example, like the Reisha, the Braisa, where the Mishaleach is a non-Jew, meaning the non-Jew cannot be an agent for the Jewish people. But a Jewish person could be an agent for a non-Jew, like it was in the Reisha, Havina Lula Shliach, then he could create agency. And that's why the case of the Reisha was permitted. Because the non-Jew was sending the Jew who was saying, yeah, go ahead and give it to him. The Jew is just a Shliach of the non-Jew, and that's why it's permitted. Whereas again, in the Sefer, which we said that the non-Jew is being a Shliach for Yisrael, that we said is only a rabbinic stringency. But really, biblically, that's where we said that there's no agency, but there is an agency for him to send a Jew to be his agent. That the Gemara says, no, b'hadir of Ashe Berusi. Again, that version is also an outside statement, because Maishna inhu lididan delai, why is it any different that they cannot be agents for us? Dichsiv atem gam atem, because the pasuk says, you, oh, so you, l'rabba shluchachem, to include your agents, which is ma'atem b'nei beris, just like you're Jewish. Av shluchachem b'nei beris, so to your agents, for a person to be an agent, has to be Jewish. Hanan liditu nami. For us to be shluchim for them is the same thing. Because the teaching teaches us, ma'atim, just like you who, the ones who are creating the agency, a b'nei v'ris kama, it says that the mishaleach, the shaleach has to be Jewish too. That it says that you are people that could create agencies. And therefore, the halacha is that the agency only applies if the sender is a Jew and the agent is a Jew. So therefore, the Gemara says, Al-Hadra of Ashi Brusi, this version is also an outside statement. You can't qualify and say that it works because he's the sending the agent, because there's no shlichas for him to create agency or to be an agent. So the Gemara tries to bring a third approach to answer the question that we mentioned before. Ravina Amar, he says, you're right. Although that a non-Jew does not have the halachas of agency, whether to create an agent or to be an agent, which therefore that was the question that we had, so then how does it help if the Jew brings his fellow Jewish borrower to the non-Jewish lender and he says, hey, you know, could I give it to him? And he says, yes. So why is it permitted? Why is it like the non-Jews lending the Jew when he can't be considered the shliach? He's doing the isra himself. He's giving the loan on interest to the fellow Jew. Says Ravina, but zechia midrabbanan islay. But although he doesn't have the halacha of shlichas, but the non-Jew does have rabbinic merits, meaning the Jewish person can be mezaka, could create a merit for the intention of the non-Jew. So therefore, this Jewish person will be zeicha for the non-Jew rabbinically with the loan from the other Jew. In other words, when he gets it through the medium of that the non-Jew gets the rights of this loan. In other words, is it like the Jewish person gave it back to the non-Jew and that the non-Jew then lent it to the Jew? How? There's no halacha of shlichas. You're right, there's no halacha of shlichas, but there is halacha of what's called rabbinic zechia, that someone, like a classic case, is zachan adam shleim b'fonam. You can merit for someone something that's a merit, even if he's not there, which shlichas usually needs das. But you could merit it for him if it's a merit. Here, where it's a merit for the non-Jewish lender, where he's going to be the lender, he's getting his money back and now he's creating a new loan, that is something that could be done, that the Jew could be mezaka for the nachri. That's why it's going to work, and that's what it's going to be like, he's borrowing from the non-Jew, and that's why it's permitted. And it proves Ravina, midah hava katan. It's just like we find by a minor. Katan lav afal gav de les leishlichas. Now, regards to a minor, although we know that he doesn't have the loch of agency, because wherever it says the loch of shlichas, it says it by an adult. For example, someone that's fit to take off truma, or that his hektish should be hektish, or that his words will take effect, which, because in regards to the parashas of hektish and nedarim, it says the term ish, which is an adult. By truma, it also says, me'is kol ish ashed ven liboy. So, regards to halacha of where we learn that shlich is from, which it says by truma, the parashas by truma is talking by an adult. So we know that shlich is only applies to adult, not by a minor. Yet in spite of that, as we continue on top of Ayin Beis Amud Aleph, we know that Isli Schiyah Midrabbanan, he has the right rabbinically to merit in things, as the Mishnah teaches us in Baba Basra, Kabbalah and Vavma Beis, that Zachan Lakatan, we can merit things for a minor. So Hachanam Relationas says, Ravina, here also it's no different, although the Nachri does not have Shlichas, but he could have his Schiyah, and therefore they merit it to him, and they want this because they want to be able to have the loan on interest, and you can't get from one Jew to another, so they mazak it to the non-Jew, and it's like the loan went from the non-Jew to the Jew, and that's why it's permitted. Now the Gemara says, Velohi, no, Ravina's answer is also incorrect, because Yisrael Asil Chal Shlichas, by a Jew, a minor, so a minor, right, he doesn't have shlichas, but ultimately he will ultimately become an adult and come to the category of agency. So therefore, even though right now he doesn't have it, but rabbinically we'll give him something that's like that, which is chiyah midrabbanan. Akum loyos l'chal shlichas, but a non-Jew will never come to the category of agency because he's a non-Jew, and therefore that's why we don't give him either his chiyah midrabbanan, and therefore the last two answers the Gemara says are incorrect. And rather we have to say, like we said in the first answer, that you're right, there's no shlichas anachri, so how is it permitted for, when we say this midas nachri, when the Jew comes and brings his fellow Jew who wants to borrow and says, look, I can't lend you because he'd be on interest, but let's go to the lender who's non-Jewish and I'll ask him if I could give it to you, that it's permitted. It's not just giving from the Jew to the fellow Jew hand to hand, rather it's that the non-Jew takes it from his hand and gives it to the other Jew. Now the reason why it was necessary to say that chiddush was because we said you would have thought that the non-Jew is the agent of the first Jewish borrower. That's what we're saying that he's not, and that's why, and that's such a case, the halacha of a mishnah was saying, midas nachri, it's going to be permitted for a Jew to lend another Jew money on interest if it's non-Jewish money and it's midas denachri.